Greetings to each of you in Jesus' worthy name this morning. This morning, I have a subject before me that is not exactly synonymous with peace, as we've heard about. I want to talk about the world's strongest man, a weakling. And I'm not sure where your mind goes on that. It's going to be a character study on Samson. So you can turn with me to Judges 14. I found Samson to be a very unique study. He was chosen of God in a very special way for deliverance of Israel. And yet, as I look at him, as I look at his life, it really seems like his character lacked. Like there was not a lot of character there that we would want to follow. The first part of the message this morning is going to be the setting. And because there's a lot of reading to do, I'm just going to give you those points without going into the reading. The setting happens in Judges 13. Judges 13:1 says, Israel fell into sin again. So we're in a time when Israel is in sin. And it says, God delivered them into the hand of the Philistines. So here we have Israel. They're in sin, and God has delivered them to the Philistines. They're under serious oppression. The Philistines are used to doing with Israel what they want to do because God left Israel. The next thing I see in the setting is Samson coming on board, and he is an only son. His mom was barren. He was a promised child. An angel came and promised the arrival of Samson. And so he grew up an only son. And as we go further in the passage, just looking a little bit at his parents, the only thing I can find about his parents, it appears they had a fear of God. That his parents did have a certain measure of something to them. As I look at how they related to Samson later, I believe there were some things maybe that were lacking in the lives of the parents. But I don't have to look very far to see that in today's world either. His parents had a fear of God. Okay, I'm going to read Judges 14, 15, and 16. I know it's a lot of reading, but we need to read this to get the context. And then part of the rest of the message is going to be an open discussion. I would like to hear first from the children after we're finished reading what we know about Samson. And then I'd like to zero in a little more specifically with the adults what we know about his character. So we're going to read Judges 14 through 16 at this time. Judges 14:1, and Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I've seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me to wife. Then his father and his mother said unto him, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren? Or among all my people, that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, get her for me, for she pleases me well. But his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord, that he sought an occasion against the Philistines. For at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. Then went Samson down and his father and his mother to Timnath, and came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid, and he had nothing in his hand. But he told not his father or his mother what he had done. And he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. And after a time he returned to take her. And he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion, and behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. And he took thereof in his hands and went on eating, and came to his father and mother, and he gave them, and they did eat. But he told not them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. So his father went down unto the woman, and Samson made there a feast, for so used the young men to do. And it came to pass when they saw him that they brought 30 companions to be with him. And Samson said unto them, I will now put forth a riddle unto you. If ye can certainly declare it me within the 7 days of the feast and find it out, then I will give you 30 sheets and 30 change of garments. But if ye cannot declare it me, then shall ye give me 30 sheets and 30 change of garments. And they said unto him, Put forth thy riddle, that we may hear it. And he said unto them, Out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong came forth sweetness. And they could not in 3 days expound the riddle. And it came to pass on the 7th day that they said unto Samson's wife, Entice thy husband, that he may declare unto us the riddle, lest we burn thee and thy father's house with fire. Have ye called us to take that we have? Is it not so? And Samson's wife wept before him and said, Thou dost but hate me and lovest me not. Thou hast put forth a riddle unto the children of my people, and hast not told it me. And he said unto her, Behold, I have not told it my father nor my mother, and shall I tell it thee? And she wept before him the 7 days while their feast lasted. And it came to pass on the 7th day that he told her, because she lay sore upon him. And she told the riddle to the children of her people. And the men of the city said unto him on the 7th day before the sun went down, What is sweeter than honey? And what is stronger than a lion? And he said unto them, If ye had not plowed with my heifer, ye had not found out my riddle. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he went down to Ashkelon and slew 30 men of them, and took their spoil, and gave change of garments unto them which expounded the riddle. And his anger was kindled, and he went up to his father's house. But Samson's wife was given to his companion, whom he had used as his friend. But it came to pass within a while after, in the time of wheat harvest, that Samson visited his wife with a kid. And he said, I will go into my wife into the chamber. But her father would not suffer him to go in. And her father said, I verily thought that thou hast utterly hated her. Therefore I gave her to thy companion. Is not her younger sister fairer than she? Take her, I pray thee, instead of her. And Samson said concerning them, Now shall I be more blameless than the Philistines, though I do them a displeasure. And Samson went and caught 300 foxes, and took firebrands, and turned tail to tail, and put a firebrand in the midst between two tails. And when he had set the brands on fire, he let them go into the standing corn of the Philistines, and burned up both the shocks and also the standing corn with the vineyards and olives. Then the Philistines said, Who hath done this? And they answered, Samson, the son-in-law of the Timnite, because he had taken his wife and given her to his companion. And the Philistines came up and burnt her and her father with fire. And Samson said unto them, Though ye have done this, yet will I be avenged of you, and after that I will cease. And he smote them hip and thigh with a great slaughter, and he went down and dwelt on the top of the rock Edom. Then the Philistines went up and pitched in Judah and spread themselves in Lehi. And the men of Judah said, Why are ye come up against us? And they answered, To bind Samson are we come, to do to him as he hath done to us. Then 3,000 men of Judah went to the top of the rock Edom and said to Samson, "Knowest thou not that the Philistines are rulers over us? What is this that thou hast done unto us?" And he said unto them, "As they did unto me, so I have done unto them." And they said unto him, "We are come down to bind thee, that we may deliver thee into the hand of the Philistines." And Samson said unto them, "Swear unto me that ye will not fall upon me yourselves." And they spake unto him, saying, "No, but we will bind thee fast and deliver thee into their hand, but surely we will not kill thee." And they bound him with two new cords and brought him up from the rock. And when he came unto Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire, and his bands loosed from off his hands. And he found a new jawbone of an ass, and put forth his hand, and took it, and slew 1,000 men therewith. And Samson said, "With the jawbone of an ass, heaps upon heaps, with the jaw of an ass have I slain 1,000 men." And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking, that he cast away the jawbone out of his hand, and called that place Ramoth-Lehi. And he was sore athirst, and called on the Lord, and said, "Thou hast given this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant, and now shall I die for thirst, and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised?" But God clave an hollow place that was in the jaw, and there came water thereout. And when he had drunk, his spirit came again, and he revived. Wherefore he called the name thereof Enhakor, which is in Lehi unto this day. And he judged Israel in the days of the Philistines 20 years. Then Samson went to Gaza, and saw there an harlot, and went in unto her. And was told the Gazites, saying, "Samson is come hither." And they compassed him in, and laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city, and were quiet all the night, saying, "In the morning, when it is day, we shall kill him." And Samson lay till midnight, and arose at midnight, and took the doors of the gate of the city, and the two posts, and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders, and carried them up to the top of an hill that is before Hebron. And it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her, and said unto her, "Entice him, and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and we will give thee every one of us 1,100 pieces of silver." And Delilah said to Samson, "Tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee." And Samson said unto her, "If they bind me with 7 green withes that were never dried, then shall I be weak, and be as another man." Then the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 green withes, which had not been dried, and she bound him with them. Now there were men lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber. And she said unto him, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he brake the withes as a thread of tow is broken when it touched the fire. So his strength was not known. And Delilah said unto Samson, "Behold, thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Now tell me, I pray thee, wherewith thou mightest be bound." And he said unto her, "If they bind me fast with new ropes that never were occupied, then shall I be weak and be as another man." Delilah therefore took new ropes and bound him therewith, and said unto him, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And there were liers in wait abiding in the chamber. And he brake them from off his arms like a thread. And Delilah said unto Samson, "Hitherto thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound." And he said unto her, "If thou weavest the 7 locks of my head with the web." And she fastened it with the pin and said unto him, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he awaked out of his sleep and went away with the pin of the beam and with the web. And she said unto him, "How canst thou say I love thee when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these 3 times and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth." And it came to pass, when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him, so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart and said unto her, There hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall be weak and be like any other man. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, Come up this once, for he hath showed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. And she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Albeit the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. Then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together for to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon their god, and to rejoice, for they said, Our God hath delivered Samson our enemy into our hand. And when the people saw him, they praised their God, for they said, Our God hath delivered into our hands our enemy, and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us. And it came to pass, when their hearts were merry, that they said, Call for Samson, that he may make us sport. And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport. And they set him between the pillars. And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, Suffer me, that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them. Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there. And there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and on which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand, and the other with his left. And Samson said, Let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. Then his brethren and all the house of his father came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol in the burying place of Manoah his father. And he judged Israel 20 years. Fairly familiar story to many of us. An interesting story. To the children, what do we know about Samson? That was somebody saying something? Okay, Brennan. He was the strongest man. We know Solomon for being the wisest man. We know Samson for being the strongest man. What did Samson look like? If you would have looked at Samson, what would you have seen? Okay, Douglas. Mm-hmm. He had long hair. Very possibly some sort of braids, because it talks about the 7 locks. Kind of a person that looking at him might have called a rough character. I'm not sure how it struck the people in that culture. Physically, he was invincible. From a human standpoint, he was invincible. What do we know about his character? I have a lot of points that I wrote down here about his character. What do you know about his character? Looking to the adults now. Yes, David.
He's arrogant.
Arrogant, yes. He comes across as very arrogant.
Selfish.
That's right. See that time and again in this story. What else? Again?
Lustful.
Lustful. That's right.
Impulsive.
Mm-hmm.
Deceptive.
That's right. What else do we know about his character? Okay, let's just work down through the passage. Right from the get-go, chapter 14, verses 1 and 2, we see him being lustful, and that we touched on already. He had a real problem with women, with worldly women. Verse 3, I see the idea of selfishness coming out, and also very demanding. His parents tried to object, and he's like, this is what I want. That's basically what he said. He came back and demanded that it happen. As we go on down the passage, we see the result. Verses 5 and 10. Seems like he had his parents around his fingers. They actually were being controlled by Samson. They eventually did what he asked them to do and went down to Philistia to see about arranging a marriage for Samson. Even though we don't see anywhere in these verses that they ever agreed with his position on it. Another thing I see in verse 6, what was, and this is kind of a prelude to the point, but what did God give Samson his strength for? What does it say he gave him his strength for? We don't actually see that in verse 6. That kind of comes out of chapter 13, actually. Chapter 13, verse 5 says this. He shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. He gave him his strength for the purpose of delivering Israel from the Philistines. What do we see him using it for in verse 6? Killing a lion, yeah, just for personal interest, self-defense. Was that wrong for him to do that? I'm not sure, but when I see him, as I evaluate his life in the passage, it seems like he was largely spurred by personal interests in how he used that strength that God gave him. Verse 6, we see his secretiveness. I think that's one of our first indications of his deceptiveness. He did this, and he did not tell his parents. And then, verse 9 kind of continues that thought. He gave them the honey from the carcass of the lion, but he did not tell his parents. Why did he not tell his parents? David.
It's, first of all, it was a sin to touch anything that was dead. Mm-hmm. So parents would have definitely been grieved about that.
That's right.
They would most likely have rebuked them. Mm-hmm. But it seems like his parents were enablers anyway. Yeah. Also,
Right.
He enabled him a lot with, you know, what he did. So, I don't know, but it could have been, speculated, but it could have been one of the things that was a problem.
I think that's right. That's what came to my mind, too. It does seem like they were, and that's verses I didn't read in chapter 13, but it does seem like they were conscious, at least somewhat conscious of the law and of the presence of God. And I don't believe they would have eaten it had they known that it came from a dead carcass, because it was unclean. It was something the law commanded them not to do. And what his motive was in sharing it with them, I don't know. But it was not just a personal favor. He was doing this deceptively. Okay. Moving on, verses 12 to 13. What do you observe in here in terms of Samson's character? What I see here is Samson was a manipulator. He found an easy way to get himself 30 sets of clothing, so he thought. He said, I'm going to put this riddle out, and he knew they would not be able to get it. And sure enough, his enticement worked. They fell for it. They said, give us the riddle. They were confident that between 30 of them, they could solve anything that Samson could give. And I just see him in my mind just kind of smugly giving it. You know, here's the riddle. Just with a thought, thinking the whole time as he was saying it, they're never going to get it. I got 30 changes of raiment, 30 new sets of clothing. So he was a manipulator. He knew how to set circumstances in his favor. He did not mind using other people for his benefit. Your loss, my gain, was his motto. The next thing that I picked out, I find in verse 19. What do you see about his character in verse 19? Judges 14, verse 19. Who has something out of that verse for us? Yes, Abram. Go ahead.
He got all those bad characters, like you say, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the Spirit of God keeps coming on.
That's one that's hard for me to wrap my mind around. And as we get to the end, we see several references to the Spirit of God coming on him. And I'm getting ahead of myself. We're going to come back to that thought. Verse 19, I see an angry man. I see somebody that was quick to anger. Today we would call it short-fused. If something didn't go his way, he just blew up. Okay. Let's go to chapter 15, verses 4 to 5. We see the results of one of his blow-ups. He was very destructive. It didn't go his way. He was quick to just destroy. It was his way of telling them that I'm in control. You can't do this to me. Verse 6 of chapter 15. It doesn't come out quite as directly, but Samson was very intimidating. People just feared him. To the point that the Philistines, when they learned what angered Samson, they went and burned up some of their own people with fire. They just destroyed them. No chance. Hoping to appease the anger of Samson. Now, coming back here, verse 16. Actually, verse 14. We have this phrase, the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. This was after he did it, sent the foxes through their fields and burned up their wheat and stuff. They came back to capture him. And Judah was intimidated. And they said, we're going to give Samson over to the Philistia. Because they didn't want problems with Philistia. And Samson used that opportunity to wage a battle. Actually, I say Samson used that opportunity. I want to draw out the fact that while he was in their hands, it says the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. He broke the ropes. And remember what his strength was given him for? Deliverance from the Philistines. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he set about to destroy the Philistines. And it says he slew 1,000 men. So here we see we see the tip of the iceberg of Samson fulfilling his calling. He's starting to go out against the Philistines to weaken their strength. And to me, it's a challenge to wrap my mind around how he could have had the kind of character that we consistently see through these chapters and verses, and yet it says the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. The Bible makes it very clear that the Spirit of the Lord would come upon him and inspire him to do some things. We're gonna talk about that a little more later. But there are two other things, and I'm just going to take them in chronological order. Chapter 15, verses 18 to 20. So this is the same account. He had just done his slaughter, and now he's very thirsty. And we see him calling on God and saying, you gave this deliverance, and now I'm thirsty. Will you help me? So Samson did have an awareness of God. It seems like many times in his life it was not his driving force. But there was that awareness of God in his life. And God answered his prayer. God answered his prayer and provided water for him. The other thing I want to notice, I'm just going to summarize chapter 16 in this point. Samson, as he related to Delilah, did try to guard his secret of his Nazirite strength for a while. The means he used, I'm not sure were the most ideal. I think he would have been better to free himself of that relationship. But he did try to guard it for a while, but he eventually fell in under pressure because he didn't choose to remove himself from the situation. He stayed in the situation. So he eventually caved in under pressure. So in summary, on the character of Samson, I would say he was very self-centered. And yet God endowed him with a blessing to use for deliverance of his people. Next thing I want to look at is his relationships. And I'm getting most of this from chapter 16, although there could be more. First thing I see in the first couple of verses is adulteress. You know, his relationships were lust-driven. There was nothing strong. They were driven by what was pleasing to the eye. And it should come as no surprise, not by character. The result was he wound up being a hated man by many people. He was very seriously hated. And then verses 6 to 14 in his encounter with Delilah, we see him being dishonest with her, foolish. He was not building a relationship. He was destroying it right from the get-go, right from the start. Verses 15 to 20 give us a little bit of a clue about his relationship with God. After he revealed his heart to Delilah, the truth as to what would take him down, it says she shaved his hair and she started afflicting him, and he said, "I will get up and go just like I did before." It says, not knowing that the Spirit of God went from him. His relationship with God was more of God's going to give it to me. It was one way. God's a nice father pouring it out on me. He did not feel his responsibility to do his part back. The next major point of the lesson, I want to look at God's use of Samson. And this is where we need to try to balance his character with what God did with him. Judges, again from Judges 16, 22 to 30, as Samson is being afflicted by the Philistines, they finally pull him out to make fun of him, and he winds up destroying them, all of those that were gathered together to worship their God and to make fun of Samson. And it says, the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. God's use of Samson, again, was to afflict Philistia, to break the Philistine power. I want to just think a little bit, just to bring this a little more practical to us today. We look at the world scenes. Look at Middle East and look at all the things that are happening there. We look at leaders that are making choices against God's chosen people, the Jewish people. They're obviously not being God-driven. Their heart is not after God, let me say that. We look at our nation, which in the past, we did see many biblical principles that were upheld. But we're seeing less and less of that. In fact, it seems like we're seeing an active effort to undermine them. So again, we're not seeing a heart after God. But the Bible tells us that God sets every man where he will. and just putting in my own words, sets him where he will to accomplish his purposes. So in spite of man's selfish choices, in spite of man's wicked choices, God directs circumstances to accomplish his purposes. And we can't fully understand that, because only a sovereign God can do that. Only a God who has made the people of the earth and who understands the thoughts of their hearts can direct the actions of people to accomplish his plan. And now, as we look back across the story of Samson, it clears some things up. It makes the comment that Samson's desire to go down and marry that Philistine woman, his parents did not know was of the Lord. While that was not something God was asking Samson to do, God already knew in his plan that this was going to be the way Samson was. And this was going to be one of his things that he would use to accomplish his purpose of stirring up the Philistines so that Samson would have reason to attack them. And as we go down through the riddle, Samson set it out on a selfish premise. But God again used that to make trouble with the Philistines so that there would be an attack against the Philistines. So God used Samson for his purpose of weakening the Philistines, even though Samson was making decisions for his own purposes in mind. We're going to look at Samson's end, because there's a big difference in the end, or even in the walk in life, of the person who has a heart after God and in that way is accomplishing God's purposes versus the person who is going about their own thing and God is directing circumstances to accomplish his purposes. Just to say that again, more clearly, if a person walks a selfish life, God can use them to accomplish their purposes, but they are not going to get the blessings of God from their life. Versus the person that has a heart after God and seeks God, they will fulfill things for God too, but they will receive the blessing of God on their life. Let's look at Samson's end, chapter 16, verses 18 and 19. We see Delilah betraying Samson for money. Betrayal. The very person that he thought he loved turning against him. Why? For money. Money meant more than the relationship. Verse 20. God departing from him. There came the time when God said, "You disobeyed the covenant. I will depart, as I said at the outstart of the covenant." Because God had said, he clearly instructed them that he grows his hair long, and as a result of that, God's strength would be in him. And he did do that. And that was what allowed God to work in him in spite of everything else. Verse 21. Again, looking at the end of Samson. Abuse by his enemies. They finally overcame him, even though it was but for a time. And he was very much abused by his enemies. And then lastly, he died with the wicked. And as I look at the story of Samson, in many ways it's very sad. Not really an optimistic message. But there is a lesson in there that I hope we can learn loudly and clearly. And that is, God will accomplish his purposes. But if we want the blessing of those purposes being accomplished, we need to have a heart after God. And that's the challenge that I was struck with as I went through this. In the message last week, one of the things that inspired this thought process here this morning, Brother Anthony made a comment similar to something to the effect of, Jesus used his divinity for divine purposes. He did not use his divinity for his human satisfaction. And Samson had that all mixed up here. The things that God gives you today for his purposes, are you using them for his purposes? With that thought, let's kneel for prayer.